Certainly is good to see everyone today. I want to invite you back tonight at 5:30. We will begin a new study tonight. I hope that you can be with us this evening. Last Sunday night, we kind of took a break and just sang. We pulled out our old devotional books and sang out of those, and I can't remember the last time we did that, so it was very enjoyable. We'll try to do that again and plan some of those as we go forward through the year and have some more opportunities to just sing. It was a very enjoyable service last Sunday night. Hope that you will be back with us this evening. You know, in our journey to be the Christian that God wants, we see many opportunities to fall away. You know, we see opportunities that are placed in front of us to do things that take us away from God, that take us away from our mission. The devil will never give up. He's never going to stop. He's never going to quit. He's going to continually place in front of us the opportunities to trip us up and to make us fall. It's important to understand what those opportunities look like and how he's going to come at us. What does he do? How does he do it? What does he appeal to? You know, knowing the devil's tendencies and just how he can get to us is helpful in our daily walk. It's helpful in our opportunities every day to be what God wants. We've talked about faithfulness. We've talked about now what Jesus was willing to do for us and why it's important for us to be faithful. But it's also important to know the playbook at which the devil works and how he will come after us. As we think about that this morning, we have to understand that first off, it's personal. It's very personal. See, the devil knows us well. He knows what we like. He knows what will trip us up. He knows how to make us fall. And we have to understand that this battle that we are in, this battle for our soul, is very personal. If we look back to the book of Job in chapter 1, we see there something that kind of makes me nervous. It kind of makes me unsettled. As you look at Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, 'From where have you come?' Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face.'" It's kind of interesting that here the devil and God are having a conversation over Job. They're having a conversation about who he is. They're having a conversation about his life, his spiritual life. And the devil is after him. And the devil's like, "Will you give me this opportunity? And I'll make him turn from you. I'll make him turn against you." The battle with Job was very personal. We know what he does. He takes away all that he has. Job still holds his integrity. Then he comes back to God and says, well, let me strike him a little harder. And so then he takes away even more. But Job still holds fast his integrity. But isn't that an uncomfortable conversation? What if the devil and God were having a conversation about us? That would be uncomfortable, wouldn't it? I wouldn't feel good about that. We see another such conversation found in Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 31. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 31, where it says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me." The devil demanded to have him. What does the devil demand of us? How well does the devil know us? We know how well he knew Peter. Because exactly what Jesus said is exactly what happened. He did deny him. He did turn from him. You see, this is personal. It's about our soul. It's about our spiritual life. It's about our salvation. The devil knows that, and so he's going to hit us where he can to try to take us away. It's personal for us. It's also personal for him. If we're really going to stand up to him, if we're really going to understand how he comes at us, first we got to understand he really wants us. He doesn't like us. He doesn't desire our company. But he doesn't want us to go to heaven. That's very personal. His schemes, though, as we understand that it's personal, his schemes do revolve around us. His schemes revolve around convincing us that things are acceptable and good for us. In reality, they're not. He tries to convince us that what we want, we should go after. It looks good. It smells good. It tastes good. We need it. We got to go get it. The devil convinces us all sorts of things are what we need, when they're really not. You know what we call this, right? We call this temptation. We call it temptation. It's what's placed in front of us. We have to make a choice, and the devil's going to tempt us to turn from God. James chapter 1 puts it in pretty plain terms as far as how temptation works. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, says, "No one say when he is tempted, 'I'm being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." We have to begin by understanding it's not God. It's not God. God doesn't tempt us to do evil. He never will. So what happens? When the devil presents something in front of us, what happens? Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So temptation is an appeal. It's asking us to do something that we want to do. It's an appeal to our desire. The own desires that we have is what the devil is going to put out there. It's how we respond to that that makes the difference. Temptation by the devil is an appeal to things that I like, to things that I enjoy, to things that I want to do. It's my desire. To act upon those desires and to give in is where sin becomes a part. Now I want you to understand this one point about temptation. He will not tempt us to do things that we don't like or enjoy. The devil will not tempt us to do things we don't like. Well, you might say, "I don't like to sin. I don't like to make mistakes. I don't like to turn away from God." Nobody likes to. Nobody wants to. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is what the devil, what his appeal is, what his enticement is. His enticement is something that I will like, something I will enjoy, something I see the value in. You know, the devil's never going to cause me to eat too much boiled cabbage. It's just not going to happen. Don't like it. Can't stand the smell of it. Don't see anybody get it past their nose and get it in their mouth. It's disgusting. You may love it. That's fine. You're never going to entice me to eat too much of it. It's never going to happen. Because I don't like it. I don't want any part of it. Ice cream? Yeah, he can get me there. McDonald's French fries? He can get me there. There's a lot of things we could list where the devil can, he put it there in front of us and we just, man, that's what I like. That's what I enjoy. That's where he's going to hit us. That's where he's going to come after us because it's something we want to do. It's an enticement. It's an appeal. As we see temptation in action, turn to 1 John chapter 2 for just a moment. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. As we think about temptation being placed in action, as we think about the appeal that God is going to put in front of us, or that the devil is going to put in front of us to turn from God, as we think about that, remember these three things that John talks about that comes from the world: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's going to be to one of those things that the devil is going to make his appeal. It's going to be to one of these three things that the devil is going to throw something in front of us to say, that's what you really want. That's what really brings fulfillment in life. That's what really brings enjoyment. Let's take a look at a couple of scenarios here. I want you to turn to Matthew 4. And I also want you to keep a mark in Genesis 3. Matthew chapter 4 and Genesis 3. In Matthew 4, you have the temptation of Jesus. And as John points out, there's three of those things that the devil's going to come after us on. It's going to be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. As you look at Matthew 4, as we find Jesus in the wilderness, at verse 2 it says, "And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.'" Jesus had not eaten in 40 days and nights. Jesus was human, and so he would feel just like we would if we hadn't eaten in that amount of time. The hunger that he would feel was very real. And so the first thing the devil says is, "Hey, why don't you just eat?" As you look at Genesis chapter 3, in verse 6, the devil made his appeal to Eve. And he told her, "You should take this fruit and you should eat it." And this is what she sees. Verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food." Now what is that? What is the devil used in this instance? He's used our flesh. He's used the desires of our flesh. Jesus' body was saying, "Eat." Jesus' body was screaming, "I need nourishment." And the devil simply says, "Well, hey, why don't you turn those stones to bread and just eat?" And as he points to the tree to Eve and he says, "Look at this tree. Look at what it can do for you." First thing she says is she sees that it is good for food. It's good for the flesh. Lust of the flesh was on display right there. The devil made his appeal to give in to that desire of the flesh. As we look back at Matthew chapter 4, in verse 8 it says, "Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.'" He takes him up and he shows him the kingdoms of the world. All that he could see. All that it was in front of him. The majesty of it all Jesus was beholding. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. Eve saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes. It looked good. What she saw, she liked. What Jesus saw should have been very impressive. "Here's the entire kingdoms of the world. I'm going to give them all to you. You see their majesty. You see how beautiful they are. You see what they can do." That's what he could see. So here the devil makes his appeal to the lust of the eyes. And then you see, again in Matthew chapter 4, going back to verse 4, or going back to verse 5, "Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" The devil takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and says, "Why don't you just throw yourself off, because you're the Son of God. Nothing's going to happen to you. Show who you really are. Show how much God really loves you. You won't touch the ground. You won't hurt yourself. You're special." Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise." she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. The appeal from the devil to her was, you'll be as smart as God. You'll know all the things he knows. You'll be just like it. Jesus, throw yourself off this temple. Show off who you really are. Eve, you'll be just on an even keel with God. He appealed to their pride. He appealed to their status. As we look at both of these temptations, you have such a different reaction. Unfortunately, we tend to side with Eve on this, don't we? We tend to follow her path more so than Jesus. Jesus quoted Scripture all three times and defeated the devil. Eve gave in. And that scenario has played out time and time and time again from the moment that Adam and Eve made their mistake, even to today. The devil continues to play out the same thing. Let me appeal to what looks good to you, what feels good to you, and what makes you feel good about yourself. Let me appeal to those things. You know, we can see the pretty package that the devil places sin in. You know, we can see that package and we can have the desire. We really, really, really want to open it. It's like a kid on Christmas Eve. The packages are under the tree. Man, they look good. What's in that? I got to know what's in that. You go up, you shake it, you listen to it rattle around. You want to know what's in there. Some children have been known to take a peek from time to time. But you just got to know. It looks good. I got to have it. What does the devil do? He places that present right in front of us. It looks really good. I got to know what's inside. I got to know what's there, what's in store for me. It's got to be awesome. It's got to be great. I got to have it. But Adam and Eve, once they opened their gift, their pretty present, their pretty package, once they opened that package, what was inside was not what they wanted. It was not at all what they had hoped. It was not as good as the packaging. What's inside is deadly. What's inside separates us from God. It drives a wedge between us because God does not exist where sin is. When we give in, we can find ourselves separate from Him. What we talk about this morning as we think about the devil and his schemes and his plans, by knowing those schemes, we can be better prepared. We can be better prepared to deal with what comes our way and to see it for what it really is. We see a beautiful package, but when it's presented the way it is from the devil, I don't care what's inside. I don't want what's inside. You know, we really see sin for the ugliness that it is. And for what it does, we want no part of it. It's still kind of intimidating to understand that the devil is looking for us. That he knows us. That he wants us. And that he's coming after us personally. That can be intimidating. But thanks be to God that he doesn't leave us alone. That he didn't leave us here to fight this battle by ourselves. You see, the devil, or the God knew what the devil would do. The God knew he would put in front of us the opportunities to fall. That he would place in front of us packages that we just couldn't wait to get into, that we couldn't wait to unwrap and to play with. But God does not leave us to do this by ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It tells us there that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Not only does God not allow us to be tempted beyond our ability to handle it, but he provides us the way out. So when we see that opportunity, when we see that appeal, We need to be looking for God's plan, God's escape. Turning to Him and understanding that what He has in store for us is so much better. Perhaps by knowing this playbook, perhaps by knowing what the devil does, it can better prepare us to be prepared to move forward in our life and to not give in when the temptations arise. If you're here this morning and you've never named the name of Christ, we want to encourage you. If you've heard the word, believe it. Repent of your sins, confess that He is the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism, having your sins washed away, being clean and whole in His sight. And if you're here this morning and maybe the devil's made his appeal, maybe you've given in, and you need to come back. The great thing about God is He never leaves us alone, and He forgives. If we need it, He's there to give it. So this morning, we have an opportunity. And if you have a need that you need to get back right in the right relationship with God, won't you do so as we stand and as we sing?